As we're on the children's theme, I'll weave this into my message this morning. I was thinking of two children's books that my kids have really been enjoying. And if parents, if you're looking for, you know, some material maybe to have like a daily devotional time with your children, maybe that's in the morning or in the evening or afternoon, I highly encourage that if you're not doing that already. One book, which isn't necessarily new, but I found it super awesome, and some of you have this, the Jesus Story Bible. Storybook Bible. This thing is fantastic. It literally points everywhere to Jesus, Old Testament, New Testament stories. Highly recommend this. I think we've gone through this like three times already, and I'll probably go through it a fourth time soon with the kids. Absolutely love this book. And one that we've been going through recently is one called Indescribable. It's 100 devotions about God and science, and we've just been loving this as well. It's been super fun, and we've been enjoying this. And so I just wanted to share that. Parents, if you're looking for materials, this is great. And then maybe keep going with maybe some devotional time. If you're not doing that, I strongly encourage you, try to make a time, whether if you're scheduled, you can do that in the morning or maybe in the evening or the afternoon, to have a daily time just to get to learn more about Jesus together. It's just a great time to grow as a family. So I wanted to share those resources this morning. In the Indescribable book, there's a cool story I'm going to use as my start. It talks about a lot of things about space. I don't know if anyone likes space, but it's really fun to learn just more about God's creation and a little bit how big the universe is, even though we have really no idea how big it is. But then you get an idea of like, wow, how big is our God? And there's a photo that I hadn't seen before, and I wanted to share just as we start, that I think will pop up on the screen. But I wanted to tell you about it. So in 1977, NASA launched the Voyager 1, and 13 years later, after it's been launched, its primary purpose was taking photographs. It was racing past Pluto, and it turned around, and it took a picture. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, poor Pluto. I mean, it probably was a planet back then, right? So obviously, you know, it's just a name. But it was the farthest point in our solar system. And so as the Voyager 1 was turning around, it took a picture. It's going about 40,000 miles per hour. This is going quick. As it turned around, it took a picture of Earth. And I think we have a picture of that will pop up. Let's see. Maybe. Oh, there's me. There we go. Sweet. Some of you might have seen this picture before. It was new to me. But it's going to be kind of hard to see on your screens, maybe even on this screen. I don't know if we can zoom it in a little bit more. But there's this little, do you guys see that little dot? Yeah, so this picture, some of you already know what this is. This is referred to as the pale blue dot. And if you see that little tiny dot, this little picture, it took 5 months for this picture to download all the way to Earth, because let's see how far away it was. It was 4 billion miles away. So, you know, talk about a little distance with sending the picture pixel by pixel. But it shocked the scientific world. And the reason why is it was the first time that we were able to see a picture of Earth from so far away. That's the Earth right there, that little blue dot. It gives this impression, especially as I look at it this morning, even when I first was learning about it, that we're really small, right? In our universe, you look at it like we're really tiny. Your universe is so big, and that's just at the tip of our solar system that picture was taken. We're that little tiny planet, and here we are, people on that little tiny planet, the pale blue dot. I wanted to start the message with that, because sometimes, I know it's easy in my life, and maybe sometimes I'm sure in your life, we can sometimes live our life like it's all about me, right? My plan, my agenda. My prayers are trying to get God onto my agenda. Anybody else ever pray that way? Lord, you really don't know what's going on, but if you did, you would answer the prayer requests I'm having, right? Versus when you see pictures of that, maybe it's God, I have no clue what's going on, but you do. Lord, would your will be done, right? Would your agenda be done? Would your kingdom be done in my life that I might look more like Jesus? It's awesome just looking at God's creation and realize that we are so, so small. Like not even noticeably, even visible in that picture. And yet God cares for each and every one of us. Isn't that wonderful? What a great God we serve, that he would love us. He would come to the pale blue dot and die for us on a cross for our sins, when he literally has heavens that declare his glory and just display his splendor. So last week, we were talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope we're still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can celebrate that every single day. But I wanted to continue on that theme of Jesus coming, Jesus dying in the grave. 3 days later, God raised him, and then he's brought to life. He interacts with the disciples. They were shocked. They were freaking out. They were scared because Jesus had come back to life. He's like, hey, it's me. You can touch the holes. You can see that it was really me crucified. He's eating meals, having fish on the beach. I'm like, that sounds really nice, actually. Having some fish on the beach with Jesus. I'm like, how much better can you get? And just spending time instructing them. Visits with about 500, and then he sends to heaven. And he says, it's better that I leave because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the one that will come alongside you, that will guide you and instruct you in everything that I've taught you and will continue to teach you, which is amazing. And I want to talk about a little bit about the community that was formed and the mission that they were invited to do. So in Acts 1:8, and we'll be looking primarily in Acts 2, but in Acts 1:8, Jesus said this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And I would just throw it there on the pale blue dot. Everywhere you're going to go, you're going to be my witnesses, and I'm going to empower you to do that. Just wait until the Holy Spirit comes. So then if we just jump over a little bit. We're doing it by chapters, but Acts chapter 2, we're going to see when the Holy Spirit comes and the impact that has both on the early church and us today. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow, I'm trying to visualize what's going on, but we got rushing wind. It looks like there's fire tongues. People are speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And the reaction of that is pretty cool. Verse 5 says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked, saying, they are filled with new wine. That's quite the reaction, right? Holy Spirit shows up. Some are in amazement. Some are saying, everybody here is just drunk. That's kind of what's going on. The Holy Spirit showed up, and he came with power. And this is exactly what Jesus said. Power would come, Acts 1:8. Wait for it, and when the power comes, you're going to be my witnesses, starting both locally and then going globally all over the place. You guys are going to be a community on a mission going around the globe to wherever the Holy Spirit is leading you to tell about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound exciting, right? You got the encounter of Jesus. How could I not tell the whole world about Jesus, right? Life on this planet is so short. Why wouldn't I want to take the most moments and time and energy as God gives us to share that with others? You'll see that. These men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, just being able to move out, and just great things are happening. Now, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned here is speaking in tongues. And it was not something that they were doing. It's something that says specifically in verse 4, in other tongues, it says Spirit gave them utterance. I remember my dad, and some of you know him, Joe Holt, I remember one time he was in a hospital, and he told me that they were there visiting a friend, and he was just sitting by himself on a bench, and he was just praying, didn't think anyone's around, so he was just speaking in tongues, and as he was speaking in tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them, someone came over from another country, and it's like, how do you know this language? And my dad's like, I don't know this language, I only know English, and God was literally giving them another language as he was speaking in tongues, to minister to someone else that he didn't even know. Now, that might sound crazy until you read Acts, right? The Holy Spirit comes, and literally God is giving languages as the Holy Spirit gives, because God gives gifts through his Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? It will blow our mind because it's not something we can do on our own. It's beyond ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's a Holy Spirit supernatural empowerment that God gives. So the response is, some are thinking, hey, I think wine is cut loose and everyone's drunk. So I'm not going to go through this sermon that Peter gives. I'm just going to summarize it. But in verses 14 to 41, check it out later if you like today, Peter responds saying, not everybody's drunk. It's only 9 a.m. in the morning. This is actually something that's been prophesied from the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit would come on young men, on daughters, on men and women, and that their lives would be radically changed. There would be visions, there would be dreams, there would be an empowerment. And this is actually not something unusual. It's actually something that's been predicted, prophesied in the Old Testament, that's being fulfilled today. Peter has a pretty cut-dry message because he talks to those who are listening saying that you actually were the ones who killed Jesus, but that that was all planned out ahead of time by God. Isn't that amazing? Even the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that's not an accident. It says God foreknew that ahead of time, and Jesus was killed. But then it says that not even death could hold Jesus because it was impossible for the grave to hold our Lord and Savior. He continues saying that if you repent and baptize, you can be saved. Repent and be baptized. To turn away from your sins and turn towards God. And it says that right towards the end of verse 41, it says that there was 3,000 that got saved that day. Isn't that amazing? 3,000. You read Acts and you're just like, this is the same Jesus that we serve today. Amen. The same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that empowered these men and women to go speak in tongues and move out with miracles, to care for the poor, to share the gospels. It's the same Holy Spirit. And Jesus is still alive and well, and he's king. This impacts them in the way that they're doing life. Now that the Holy Spirit is here, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come. They're now living a life with the Holy Spirit. And before in the Old Testament, this is such a big deal because in the Old Testament, there's only select people that would sometimes have the Holy Spirit upon them for supernatural works, whether it's leading a group or one was for craftsmanship, actually working on building things for the Lord, the Holy Spirit would come. But now that the Holy Spirit's been released and that all those who know Jesus Christ have Christ within them, the Holy Spirit, that they're accessible. This is like an amazing gift, one that has been in the waiting, one that has been longing for, that has now been received. If you know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, which is just amazing to think about. And sometimes, to be honest, I can sometimes forget about that, right? The Holy Spirit being inside. It's like, God, that's the same Spirit. God, it's you inside of me, the one that literally raised Christ from the dead. It's a great reminder because what God calls us to do as a community together is a lot greater than anything we can do on our own. If we could do it by ourselves, then we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. Right? If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need to pray. Right? If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need to ask the Lord to open the hearts of your neighbors nearby, your coworkers, or classmates, or roommates to know Christ, if we could do it on our own. But it becomes pretty clear in Scripture that we can't do it on our own. We can't even save ourselves from our own sins. So to be a community 2,000 plus years later, New Hope Community Church, where, you know, we're just a little church and part of God's global church, in order for us to be able to gather together in a community that reflects anything even close to Acts 2, it's going to take a whole lot of humility and dependency on the Holy Spirit. We can't move into the things God's wanting us to without the Holy Spirit. We can't even have the love that God invites us to have without the Holy Spirit. One of the first fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians is the fruit that is love. This community is held together by the love of Christ, and that's a byproduct of knowing the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. So let's just take a moment to look at the community that results in Acts 2, 42 to 47, and then I'll mention some things on this idea of doing community on a mission. Verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, I just love reading God's word, but day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And look what the Lord was doing. And the Lord was adding to their number, right? Jesus is the one that saves. Day by day, those who are being saved. It's just a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God does. I love that reminder that we can't save our children, our parents, our grandparents, our kids, nobody. Only Christ can. It takes all the work off. It's like, Lord, what are you inviting me to do? I love opening with that story about the pale blue dot, because when we get to realize how small we are and how insignificant we are just by our size compared to God and realizing that he loves us, it's like, God, if you can make a whole universe, Lord, I want to be part of your plan then. God, will you forgive me for just bringing my plan to the table? Lord, I want to hear your plan. I want to know your voice. God, I want to be empowered through your Holy Spirit to care in a community for others as we're on a mission together. So let's talk about this a little bit more. Community on a mission. I think we have a photo that will pop up that Jody put together. I love this photo. Thank you, Jody. I like this because it just shows some of us, not all of us, some of us just working together, serving others. Some is serving the poor, under-resourced families. Other of us are worshiping together. Some of us packing snack pack bags for those in need. Others are looking to just gather and praise and worship. There's so many things we can do together, but we want to glorify God together. We're a community on a mission. Now, coming out of a pandemic, our community element of gathering has been really shaken, I would say, right? I really appreciate what Andrew was saying about intentionality for rebuilding connections or starting connections with people. But in order for us to have a community that looks anything by Acts 2, we're all going to have to be part of taking steps to rebuild and be part of that community. I know there's been times in my life where I'm like, God, would you just send more friendly people around me? I don't know if you ever thought that before, right? God, the solution is always somebody else. And boy, are they just failing. And then Lord would be like, well, why don't you start being friendly to people? Oh, well, I don't want to be part of the solution. I just want to receive, right? Just want to receive. When it comes to community, we can sometimes hope that, God, the community will come to me. But if every single person's thinking the same thought, someone else will bring community to me, then who's the person going to them? Are you with me? We need to take action steps. We need to see New Hope Community Church. This is your regular place you're gathering. You need to see yourself, myself included, part of that vision. How, Lord, can I take steps to build community? That I'm not just waiting or longing or asking or seeking something to just come to me. I mean, yeah, that's great too. But Lord, could I do something? A step, a text message, an email, a phone call, a visit. Ives Park is beautiful. We were there last night with the family for like 2 hours watching the sunset. Gorgeous place to hang out. Hang out with some people, get some people together, have a meal. I know with the pandemic, everyone's caution levels are different, and I've heard it all. The extremes, you know, no mask ever or shut down the building and something in between, right? You got to be sensitive. I realize that. But we can still be intentional to build community together. I know Acts 2, this idea of breaking bread and doing meals in each other's house, I cannot wait to have people over the house on a regular basis. I'm sure I see some heads nodding, right? Just to do meals together, do dinners together. Even if we started with the basics again, just having some fellowship, some laughter, some board games, go running, actually, I don't know. Just spending time together. We got to be intentional, all of us, to rebuild community together. God's inviting us to be so much more than just a bunch of people that gather on a Sunday. When I was a college student, I went to a rather large church in Rochester for a year. And it's a really good church. It's a little, I call it a little mega church just because some churches are way bigger, but that seems like an oxymoron. But anyways, it was a big church, and I went there, and they had like 5 services, and I would just switch up the services I went to. And I went there for a whole year and successfully didn't make any relationships. Pretty good, right? You know, I didn't have to know anybody. Nobody knew me. But actually, I'm making a joke, right? That's actually really bad. I went to a church. I attended it. I was attending a church. I was not part of any community in that church. And looking back on that, I can tell that I missed out on opportunities. And I had a lot of excuses why I didn't do that. But they had a lot of small groups. They had places to hang out. I just never took any steps myself to be part of that. And I don't know if you can relate with me at all, because I've been there, where it's just like, if the only goal is just to show up on Sunday and check a box and then move out, that's not going to look like anything the community that the Lord's asking us to do. Amen? It's not. And I've been there. I've just done, you attend, you leave. You attend, you leave. And in a church like this, even though it's smaller, you can do the same exact thing. You can attend and leave. I know we're gathering. We got so much enthusiasm and passion right now to be back together. But you know how it is. Give something 6 months, 12 months, and it's kind of like, I can attend church again. May we rebuild something new and not just to resume something old. I believe the new that God's inviting us to together is actually looking a lot more like Acts 2, a place where we do community together. But the goal is not just to gather so that we're just gathering. That's great. The goal is to invite one another, encourage one another, be part of the mission that Jesus invited us to go on. A couple of scriptures I wanted to share as we're on a community on a mission, that this community is held together by Christ's love. In Matthew 22, it won't be on the screen, but Jesus said that the greatest commandments, these are the two. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. And we see in 1 Corinthians 13 that you can have the prophetic tongues, the prophecy, to be able to heal, move mountains, die for the Lord in martyrdom. But if you don't have love, it means nothing. Right. So a community that looks like Jesus' community has to be held together, not by our version of love, but by the Holy Spirit's love working in us, which is an unconditional, sacrificial, long-suffering love. It's held together by Christ's love. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. I already mentioned this, Acts 1:8, but you will see power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because what you're going to do, what we're invited to do, to reach Potsdam, Canton, Hanawha Falls, Norwood, Winthrop, the surrounding towns, Clarkson, SUNY Potsdam, SLU, SUNY Canton, St. Lawrence County, might as well go for New York. I heard God loves Canada, so let's go up there too when we can get across the border. No, God loves Canada, okay? God loves the world. But literally, let's go on a mission. Let's go take some more ground for the kingdom of God. And what ground looks like isn't actual physical locations, it's people. It's loving people. It's getting to know people that we don't already know. Even though I love working in a church body and it's awesome, I have a fantastic secretary, I realize I can't keep trying to get Jody saved every week. You know what I mean? Are you with me? Right? She already knows Christ. I like to joke around, but there's a serious tone. Lord, I need to get out and figure out how to meet some new people that don't know Jesus yet. And sometimes we can just get in the routines where we're just doing the same thing over and over and expecting a great commission result by living a lifestyle that keeps us from any great commission context. So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're seeking to glorify our Heavenly Father in what we say and do. John 5:19, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. That's Jesus. He only did what the Heavenly Father was doing. As brothers and sisters in Christ, daughters and sons of the King, we got to tune into the Lord every day. Lord, what's your agenda for today? God, what's your will for today? I don't want to talk about yesterday because I can't go back there. I can ask for forgiveness if I blew it. I can't live in tomorrow yet. So what do you want for today, Lord? What are you directing me to? How can I step out? God, I only want to say and do what the Heavenly Father is showing me. Recently, I was going to a store, and I shared this yesterday. I was going to go to a store because I'm really trying to get out of my box to reach people that maybe no one else has reached yet for the love of Jesus. And I was going to go to a store and see if I can just, you know, go and pray with people or ask people if I can serve them or whatever. Just try to bless people like Jesus. And I was doing that. I felt like God's like, hey, you should go to the police station. And so I didn't want to go there. Not that there's anything wrong with police. It's just like, was not the store. And so I went there and I was like, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? He's like, go talk to an officer and ask if you can pray for with him. I'm like, well, that seems really hard, at least for me. So I was like, well, God, I'm like, I just sat in the car and debated with God why that was a bad idea. But then you think of the pale blue dot and you think of, well, maybe God's bigger than Jim. So maybe Jim should do what God's saying. So eventually I got on board with God's plan and I went in there, talked to an officer, just like, hey, this sounds kind of weird, but can I pray for you? You know, try not to be awkward. No, I let it in a little bit smoother, but not much more than that. And he's like, well, that's kind of, well, maybe. And he actually shared things I could pray for him for. I was like, oh, that's cool. So I was like, hey, I'll pray for you later if you don't want me to pray for you now. And then I was learning about the community, and I was like, hey, is there parts in the community that like are really problematic? And he mentioned a community in a parking lot that he's like, these are the most troublesome places in our town, actually. I was like, okay, great. We can be praying for that. Because, you know, God can transform and redeem and bring light into dark places. And so it was so much fun this past week. I went with one of the other pastors, Glenn, and like I'm like, we normally have our weekly prayer meeting. I'm like, Glenn, you just want to go prayer walk that location, like that parking lot? You want to circle that in prayer? And then you want to go to that community and just pray for that, where the most drug deals are going down, domestic abuse, all this is going down? Let's pray, because Jesus came as light into the darkness. And if the Holy Spirit's inside of us, then we can bring light into darkness. Amen? And even though there's a tendency, when the darkness gets more dark, there's a tendency to be like, I need to back up. I need to come over here. I get like a plant or something. I love Jesus, but I'm going to hide so nobody can know I'm a Christian. Who said that? Not me, you know? It's like I'm an undercover brother or sister in the Lord, and nobody's going to know because I'm going to make it to heaven, and that's all I care about. Yikes. We can live that way sometimes. We might not say it. We can live that way sometimes. But we're there, we're just praying, and we're out there in a scene. Honestly, I think, Glenn, I didn't tell you this, I missed an opportunity. I saw an older lady that was like looking like she had a limp, and I was nervous. I didn't step out. I felt like I could have gone over and prayed for that lady and seen some miracles like we see in Acts. And I want to share this, because I want to share this is something that we all want to be part of, opportunities to step out. There's people that are hurting, people that have anxiety and depression. They don't have the hope of Jesus like you do. They don't go to prayer when they're having a difficult day. They don't even know Christ yet. But if we can get out there, maybe it's making cookies, maybe it's in caring for your employees or caring for your boss or your roommates, your college, wherever you are, ask the Holy Spirit, God, how can I be part of expanding your kingdom? And then all we have to do is just listen. Maybe like me, it's like I was going to go to a store, I had an agenda, which I thought was a good agenda to pray, and God's like, you need to go to a police officer, and I want you just to care for however long the conversation goes for that person. Last thing I'll say, I'll invite up the musicians at this time. As a community that's on a mission, our mission is to fulfill the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Does this sound like Acts 1, 8? Sounds very similar. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's not meant to just be a slogan for churches. It's meant to be a mission that we lived out. Amen? And I honestly have been repenting a lot to the Lord recently. I asked for forgiveness. I'm like, God, I've not been taking the zeal of the Lord to places that need the light and love the way you've asked me to. And you don't need to live a life like I do. Don't be like, ah, man, what Jim's doing, I don't ever want to do that. No, I'm not asked to do that. Just ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Because he's designed you with a personality, gift sets, traits, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, unique supernatural giftings from the Lord, that he'll take you to places that I would never go, which is great, because there's people there that need to see and know the love of Jesus. Amen? So I'm just going to pray as we're closing. We'll have a time to respond in praise and worship. But I'm really believing that as we are coming back from this pandemic and coming together, may we come back to something that is new to us, but essentially old because it's in Scripture, that we would be a community on a mission, that gathering on a Sunday would be one of the least amount of things we'd be doing, because when it comes to Mondays harvesting, you know what I'm saying? Get out there spiritually, and Tuesdays gathering, and Wednesdays praying, and Thursdays caring for those in need, and Fridays sharing the gospel or whatever the Lord's tearing you. Sunday's only an hour. There's a whole lot of more hours we can live for Jesus during the week. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just settle for following Jesus for 1 hour a week. I want to be out there with you guys sharing the love of Jesus with those who desperately need to hear the hope that we have in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for dying for us on the cross. Thank you, God, that you didn't leave us like orphans. You sent the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for caring for us. And God, I just pray now. I know for myself, I had to repent, just say, sorry, Lord, forgive me, God, for keeping the greatest message in the world hidden because our world is dark. Lord, may we be ablaze with the Holy Spirit, God, to want to shine your light everywhere. God, when it comes to pot stand on these campuses and community, God, may we shine brightly for you, Jesus. Lord, take the things that don't help us shine well. God, take the things that are holding us back. God, fear is not our master. Shame has no longer any hold on us. The cross took that. Guilt is no longer the one whispering in our voice. The Holy Spirit is the one that's empowering us and whispering us. And God, I just pray that we can move out together, fueled by love, that more people in this area could become worshipers of God on this pale blue dot. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.